You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James and no Luke, no Danny, no co-host, just going solo. They're leaving me out to dry this year. It's okay, though. I have a great guest. One of our good friends is back with a great new song. The very funny, the very talented Mr. Ben Knight. Ben, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. Now, I'm no Luke, but I will do my best.
No, you'll do fine. You look like you're bundled up to go ice fishing.
Dude, I was just telling James, it is here in the great state of North Dakota. It is negative 31 degrees today. So, yes. And in my studio, normally it stays pretty warm. At negative 31, nothing here stays warm.
Yeah, I was going to say, nothing can stay warm in negative 31. I don't even know how that's a temperature, how we start going in the negatives. Like, how's that even possible? I thought zero was the bottom, but like, whatever. Right.
Right. No. And it's funny because I meet Californians and they come here and they're like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm like, it's 55.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it hasn't hit. Yeah, it hasn't hit what it the coldest I've ever seen it here was negative 81 with the wind chill.
Oh, yeah, no thanks. Like, when it drops below 70 here, I'm like, man, it's freezing. What are we going to do? And everyone's like, what are you talking about?
So, like, yeah. It's Armageddon, quick. Yeah. Everybody go to Costco.
Yeah, I can't stand the cold. So Luke actually sent me an email this week and said, hey, Ben has a new song. He wants you to hear it. Like, check it out. And you sent it to me. It's called Potty Mouth. And I love it because it's like the antithesis of what rap music is now. Like, the opposite is just like, you feel like, oh my gosh, yes, most people rap and then they just have to drop a bunch of F-bombs and whatever to sound cool. When it's like, you could do the same song without it. I mean, because, and we know they can because there's radio edits, right? They exist.
Oh, 100%. And well, and you know this as being a comedian, you know, and honestly, and no pun intended, I'm going to take a lot of crap for this song comes out. And the thing is, like I said, you know, as a comedian, there are a lot of comedians that will use, you know, language as a crutch,
right?
Instead of going like, well, how can I rewrite this joke to where I don't have to drop an F-bomb, you know, I can come up with something funnier. And they're like, nah, I'm just going to be lazy and, you know, drop the bomb. And so my kind of thing, well, and here's the thing too. So it's not a crutch, but it's a hindrance for me as a songwriter. So what happens is once I start working on music, the second that I have a chorus in mind, it just pops into my head and I have to go with it. And unfortunately, I have songs upon songs that I will never release because whatever popped into my head is so stupid, but I can't not sing it to that chord. You know what I mean? I can't replace it. And so it's kind of like the old Mitch Hedberg joke where he says, what is it? He talks about, he goes, sometimes when I'm laying in bed late at night, I think of something funny and I have to decide if it's, I'm butchering the joke, but he has to decide if it's funny enough to get up and write it down or decide it's just not that funny. But yeah, that's kind of how I am, where it's just like, you know, with this song, that's literally the chorus is literally that very first line of the chorus is the very first thing that popped into my head when I heard the chorus. And my daughter happened to be hanging around in the studio and she's six. And I'm like, hey, you know, and it's kind of on the recording. I said, hey, what do you think would be a good idea for a song? And she's like, not being a potty mouth. And I'm like, okay, that's what it's going to be then. So it's just, and like I said, I will take some grief because, you know, it's just, and I'm not even saying that people that use bad language are stupid. I mean, right, there are plenty of very intelligent people who have very foul mouths, but when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to music, I mean, if I may be so bold, one of my favorite movies of all time is That Thing You Do. Love it.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
I think it's one of the best movies ever made. And then I watched the director's cut and I was so bummed out because there's a bunch of stuff that's added where, you know, some of it's not so family friendly and some of it's just stupid and it actually ruins the movie.
Oh,
and wow. It's so strained. And so, but Tom Hanks in his mind, he goes, no, this is the movie. This is the best cut. And I'm like, no, it is not the best cut, sir. So, I mean, yeah, that's the basic preface. It's just like, you know, for those of us who really do try to, you know, and again, most of my stuff's, I mean, I'll just be honest. Most of my stuff's pretty stupid, but it's just who I am. It's what I express. And so for me, I'm just like, I just don't, you know, it's not really a part of my everyday life. I don't go around just dropping F-bombs. So I'm like, why would I put it in my music?
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. And that's the thing is, that's why clean comedy also appealed to me is I don't usually, you know, walk around cursing or whatever. Yes, I was a sailor and I can curse like a sailor, but I don't. And it makes things a lot easier. I mean, I absolutely love all kinds of comedy. Like that's everything. Like I'll watch Chappelle. I'll watch Carlin. I'll watch, just watch Mark Norman. I watch Dusty Slay, like whoever, because everybody has a different thing. And it doesn't bother me when people curse, but I sometimes go, man, that joke would be so much stronger if you dropped that word. Like you don't need that. You can make that joke pop without that word. And I think you're right. Sometimes people use it as a crutch.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I watched Chappelle's new special. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. You know, I've laughed at stuff Big Jay Oakerson's done. I've laughed at all the stuff. You know, for me though, have you seen Jim Gaffigan's new special yet?
Yeah, we just watched it the other day. I loved it actually.
It was really, really strong. Probably if not his best, it's up there. And same thing with I've really gotten into now I've gotten into him before he got on Netflix, but I've always really enjoyed Nate Bargatze. Yeah, I think he's
that's my wife's favorite comedian. Not me. Not me. I'm not a favorite comedian. He is.
Well, and I tell you what, there's something about him, like and he does have a similar delivery to past comedians. You know, just kind of that deadpan, like, you know, kind of he's like a soft spoken curmudgeon. He's like what would happen if if you were to turn down Marc Maron like 99%, like, because there's, you know, like, you know, Marc Maron's just angry at the world, where Nate's just kind of irritated at the world just slightly, you know. But I agree 100%. Now, and it's not to say, again, no one's going to argue and say that Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Carlin, you know, other people, you're not going to go, well, they just weren't very good. Oh, no. They're brilliant. But it makes you wonder. And Carlin too. I mean, Carlin, if you look back at some of his jokes, you can tell that he wrote around. He's like, well, I could have said this, but instead he goes, you know what? I had this, you know what? I'm going to put in two words instead of that one word. And it's going to make it even better.
Yeah, no, he was a genius. And I remember reading something sometimes saying that he knew with 99% accuracy if something would work on stage before he ever got on stage. Now that is a wordsmith. That's someone that you respect. Same thing with Jerry Seinfeld, right? Jerry Seinfeld is a wordsmith, like you, and he doesn't use language, potty mouth, to do it. I mean, that's the fantastic part about Jerry, and everybody gets him. Now, there's a lot of people who say, oh, he's a hack now, but no, he's not a hack because everyone stole his style, right? Mark Norman, who I love, is a dirtier version of Jerry Seinfeld. Like,
yep, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, he's Mark Norman. If you just close your eyes and listen to Mark Norman talk, you would think, oh, that might be Jerry Seinfeld. It's not, but it could be, and he's such a good comedian too. I don't know I don't actually know if there'll ever be a time where there is pure clean comedy or pure dirty comedy. Everything kind of overlaps, and I think that's just society. I am actually sad that you said that thing you do is a, there's another version of it where it's not good, because I love that movie.
And the thing is, I would implore everyone, if you don't believe, go watch it, because it does. I mean, it's terrible. And here's the thing, there are things about it, like, I don't care. Like, I mean, here's the thing, like, I think we all kind of guessed, and then Tom Hanks did release it later on, you know, his character is gay in the movie, which, fine, whatever. But they had to add other scenes where, like, he's with his boyfriend. And like I said, I don't care about that, but it's just, they're not good scenes. They don't actually help the plot move along. Right. It doesn't matter. It's just kind of stuff that slows the movie down. You know, they make Guy Patterson look way dumber. Like, there's more scenes with him, and he, you know, he's more conceited, and he's more of an idiot. And, it's just like, no, you don't need that extra 7 minutes to make. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, you don't need that extra stuff to make it good or funny or whatever. I mean, and I agree with you. I think it would be weird. I mean, I do think, you know, I may not necessarily agree with it language wise or whatever, but I think it would be weird if Bill Burr was completely clean.
Yeah.
That would be super weird. Right. Or, you know, or like Tom Segura, that would be super weird if they did like an hour straight and you're like, you didn't say anything dirty. That's super weird, you know? And it's not even that maybe they wouldn't be stronger comedians for it, but it's just, that would definitely be odd.
Yeah, it would be. I recently learned that Tom Segura does stand up in Spanish too. He does like an English show and a Spanish show, which I was like,
he does. And that's a mind breaker because I think he's talked about it before on one of his specials, like, you know, people, he speaks perfect. Well, he's half Peruvian.
Yeah.
So like, you know, his mother is Peruvian. And so like when he speaks Spanish, they look at him and go, that's not supposed to come out of you, you know, like, because he just looks like a normal 40-something-year-old white guy.
He looks like Kevin James with a beard.
Kind of, yeah. Well, there's that. Actually, you can test that. Well, with maybe a slightly different nose, like you can test that theory. I don't remember the name of the movie, but Kevin James is in this. It's what I would call like if you mixed. I can't remember that Jodie Foster movie where like people break into her house. If you mix that with Home Alone, like it's kind of like a thriller, but Kevin James plays like a killer. It's weird.
Oh, weird. Okay. I've never seen that.
But he has like a full beard and like, he actually looks tough. He's got tattoos.
Oh, wow.
I would say so. Like if Kevin James had kind of, if he went completely bald and then bearded, it's like, hey, there's Tom Segura.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's funny, is the first Tom Segura album I ever heard, I think it's called White Girls or Cornrows, and he mm-hmm. his opening joke is about renaming Los Angeles, and he does it in like perfect Spanish, and it's one of the funniest jokes ever. Like I absolutely love that joke. It's probably, he probably is like, that's not my strongest joke I've ever written, but that's one of my favorite Tom Segura jokes, is where he renames
Los Angeles and blah, 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 and he's just like,
he does the whole blah, thing blah, blah.
And the Angels are tired.
Tired, yeah, the Angels are tired. I love that. That, because I live in LA, like not 100%. Like I'm like, oh, I get this joke. Yeah, it's really funny. So when you do a song like this, do you then decide you want to do an album? Or is there gonna be an album tied to this? Or
so just one song? One of the biggest problems with the music industry right now, is that, well, I mean, you know, and there are pluses and minuses, I'm sure, with comedy as well. Because of things like streaming and, you know, Spotify and everything else. So nowadays, you know, I could write, and I've to this day, I've never written what I would consider, like even on my EPs, I would never consider all four or five of those songs to be my best. I would usually consider like maybe three of them to be maybe two of them really good. One of them's pretty good. And then the other ones are like, well, I had some filler.
Right.
But nowadays the people's attention spans are just so not there. I mean, that's why like I refuse to do TikTok and things like, I just won't do it. Just because I don't understand it. Like I'll watch it, like I'll hear my wife in the room and she's like cracking up. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, watching TikTok. But she goes, you got to see this. And I'll watch it and I'll just stare at her and she's like, what? It's funny. I'm like, no, this is not funny. Yeah. This is I think you'll probably be able to attest to this. I think when it comes to comedy, which, like I said, what I do is not like ha ha laugh out loud funny. I actually do, and I mean this in no insult to Nate Bargatze. A lot of his stuff is not like roll on the ground laughing, but it, like when I go to a comedy show, I'm usually the guy who makes comedians feel uncomfortable because I'm enjoying myself, I'm enjoying the show, but it takes a lot for me to really laugh.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, with my stuff, I think of it the exact same way where I'm like, I'm not trying to make anybody go, oh, that's hysterical. I'm not Weird Al. That's not what I do. But I'm hoping that there's like an underlying message and makes people go, oh, that's kind of a clever line. Oh, that's kind of a, you know, clever line.
Yeah.
But as far as like an album, this is like tangent cast with
that's me. Okay.
No, I'm not going to release it. I think this year, I think I'm just going to release a lot of singles and try to do the best ones.
That makes sense.
Because I mean, you know, and I'm sure you've probably had this too, where like maybe you write a joke and you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to figure it out and you're banging away and banging away. And it just never, but you keep doing it even though you know it's not your strongest, because you're like, well, I can make this work. I can make it work. And then you end up going, no, I can't make it work.
Yeah.
And that's how some of my songs have been in the past, where I'm like, no, like it's good. It's good. And after a while I'm going, it's good.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not good. So no, I think from here on out, it's going to be a lot of singles or maybe like really tiny EPs, two or three songs. Because like I said, nowadays it's just like, well, and as you know, there are a lot of bands that come out where, and I don't understand. And like I said, I think everyone has a different ear, whether it be comedy, music, television, movies, whatever. For me, I can listen to 10 songs and go, well, yeah, that's the hit.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the rest of the album. Like it, like nothing on this album is as good as that song. And that's where like writing a really good record, whether it be, you know, hip hop, rock, what have jazz, whatever, it has to flow. You know, you don't want to start with your best song first, because then the rest of the album is a letdown. And so there really is a rhyme and rhythm to, you know, putting like, you know, one of your best songs first, and then kind of like maybe putting a song that's pretty good, then putting your hit, and then, or, you know, whatever, just making it to where, you know, it's a nice flow throughout the whole thing. But no, I think for me, well, and life's gotten so busy, and then with COVID and everything else, you know, there's zero touring.
Right. Well, has the Spotify thing hit you at all? Because I know like they took a lot of comedians off Spotify. Is that something that has hit you or affected you at all?
My stuff's still on there. It's definitely, they definitely changed their algorithms, because, you know, where certain songs would get thousands and thousands of plays, all of a sudden it's like it's cut in half or like 75%. Like, what in the world just happened? And so it's either, you know, because on there, you know, of course, if you're using, you know, keywords or whatever that would normally propel people to your music or your comedy or whatever, it doesn't work anymore. And so it's like, oh, well, but I'm using, you know, this hashtag and this hashtag. How come it no longer works? Or how come I was associated with this act, but now I'm associated with this? Like, it doesn't make any sense, because it used to be, I was, you know, like on Spotify, it's like, oh, he sounds like blank, 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 blank.
Right.
And now all those have disappeared. And it's like, oh, no, he sounds like blank, blank. I'm like, I don't sound like any of these people. So something definitely changed.
Now, what do you think about like YouTube rappers? You're big. The big one that I've been recently like introduced to is Tom McDonald. And I had no clue who he was or whatever, and someone set me up. I thought it was a joke, actually. I thought the song was intended to be a joke, which I'm sure it was, but it's also kind of, you know, whatever. I don't know if you know about Tom McDonald, but
I know the name. I haven't heard any of the stuff.
Yeah, it is kind of just making fun of like political stuff. It's kind of, it was funny, the one that I saw. But is YouTube maybe an option, like making your own music videos or something? Is that something that you've thought about doing too?
Possibly. You know, for me, I mean, because music's now, I mean, once upon a time, music was my main, you know, income, my main job. Now, just with, I mean, COVID's really kicked us in the teeth, in as much as, well, like I said, there's zero touring, there's zero, you know, any live stuff. Well, and for me personally, and like I said, I do think everyone should make it their own choice. I didn't want to play venues that required COVID vaccinations.
Gotcha.
Because I just didn't want to cut out. I didn't want to cut out a section of people. I just didn't think that was right. I'm not worried about getting any of the variants myself, but I understand that people don't want to go into certain venues. They don't want to get sick, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I was not comfortable with that. In fact, actually, I was so livid. I was in Minneapolis, and I was just there for some work stuff. And I just happened to be there on the day that Nate Bargatze was going to be there. And I was like, oh, phenomenal. I'm going to go see him. And I couldn't, because at that moment, like, I had not been vaccinated. And the only way you could go see him is you had to have proof of vaccination. I was like, doggone it. And so, I mean, that, and, you know, that really stinks. I mean, and it was what it was. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell a venue what they should do, and that's, you know, that's perfectly fair. But no, and YouTube's definitely an option. The hard part is, you know, now with the way things are, you know, everything is so expensive. My wife and I went to the grocery store last week or week before, and it was like $500. And I go, $500? And I'm like, normally we spend like $240, $230. And, you know, you start going over in your head. You're like, oh, wait, this went up 100%. This went up 150%. Yeah. Oh, good Lord. So, I mean, it's so even finding the time and money to, because I mean, I have enough stuff where I can record a music video if I want to.
Yeah.
It's also fun. But for your listeners, I live in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So, you know, finding other people with, I mean, honestly, you know, what I'm strongest at is, you know, audio production, video production. That is not a necessity in North Dakota.
Yeah.
So even finding people who would want to come and help, or, you know, even trying to get people gathered up for, you know, like if you need a small crowd for a video or something, it's like even just getting people there, you know, because here it's, you know, I live in a farming and oil community. Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, hey, you guys want to climb off your rigs and do a music video, you know?
Do you remember the Zach Galifianakis version of Kanye West's song, Can't Tell Me Nothing? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's yep. What I always think of. I love that. That's one of my favorite music videos of all. I think it's just 100% hilarious. I don't know. That might be an option.
Well, and there's I've got a buddy. He lives up in Canada. His name is Mark Dirksen. I really like what he does. He's kind of like, he does what I do, but his flow is way better. I mean, he's a really, and I've never been shy about it. Like, honestly, I hate most hip hop. I really do. I can't stand it. But for me, it's just a creative outlet to do. I think it's fun. And I'm a storyteller. I like telling stories, and I find that hip hop and rap, you can tell more. I mean, not always, but a lot of times there's a lot more space for words.
Right.
And so you can tell a much longer story than, you know, I mean, cause like, there's some things I don't get, like, you know, Bruce Springsteen, I still don't kind of get, like, I think some of his songs are okay, but you know, I'm just like, dude, I really don't care about that turnpike in Jersey, you know, nothing personal. But you know, for me, but Mark, as I was saying, he lives in Canada, and he and I were working on a song, and I'm completely tied to whatever pops in my head. And so we started working on a song called Water Parks. And you know, it's literally about going to a water park and just, you know, having fun. And I was like, gosh, this would be so much fun to shoot.
Yeah.
But A, like I said, he lives in Canada. So even if I wanted to go up there, if he wanted to come down here, it's almost an impossibility right now. So, it's definitely, I think, you know, that's definitely on the list of like, man, I would, this summer, that would be fun to do for sure.
Now, I'm going to ask you this because I do this. Do you ever make up your own lyrics for other people's songs? Like you hear something and then you start singing a different version of that song. Like I make up songs based on other stuff or whatever sometimes.
Yes, I do. And it's to my detriment. It drives my wife.
Mine too.
Absolutely insane. Because I'll just, you know, I'll just walk by humming something or just, you know, like, you know, just, I mean, and I think we've all done it at this point. I remember my mom did it when I was a kid, and I only remembered it because I did it. But I was just walking through the kitchen one day and I was like, there's a bathroom on the right, you know, doing CCR because we've all done it. And it's like, and I'm, you know, and it's, I mean, it's very hacky, but like, you know, but no, I, yeah, of course. I mean, that's definitely, we've all got an inner Weird Al.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is Weird Al got us all to be have an inner Weird Al. Cause he's just like, he's that guy. When you're like, oh man, I wish I could do that. I always say, I wish I could do that.
Oh, 100%. Well, and he's one of those guys because there are definitely Weird Al haters where you're like, how can you like him? It's like, well, because he's, again, I think he's good at that. I think he rides that line of telling a story and he's not always ha ha funny,
right?
But it's just like, oh, that's funny or that's clever. Or, you know, like for me in this song, you know, I was able to put the word syntax in there. How often can you put the word syntax in a hip hop song? You know what I mean? It's just like, I told my wife my newest, I have an idea of how I can do it, but I want to put the word anti-disestablishmentarianism in a song. Because, well, it's the biggest word in the English language. That's a real word.
Not super complicated. I thought,
But see, that's the metaphor. See, that's what everybody always says. But I'm like, yes, but anti-disestablishmentarianism is an actual thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, but what is it? And I was like, I don't remember. But I know it. I know I learned it in social studies or you know, or something. But I'm just like, that's the thing I like to do. Like where, like I said, it's funny, but it's funny in a TikTok way, because once you hear it, you're like, oh, that was really funny. But then when you hear it again, you're like, oh, that's clever. And then by like the fifth time, you're like, all right, I want to listen to something else.
Yeah. I started writing a joke about how I believe it was Rick Ross rhymed quarter million with watermelon. And I was like blown away. I was like, those two words don't go together and they don't even sound alike. Watermelon, quarter million doesn't sound, they're not the same word, but he made it work. And it was like, it blew me away. When I heard, I forgot what song it was too. I'm pretty sure it's a Rick Ross song. And he said, you know, watermelon to court. But I was like, all right, well, this is, you can rap. Apparently you can rap anything together with anything, I think.
Oh, 100%. And that's, to me, that's always a goal, because like, how do I say, because that was actually, you know, that's one of the lines in one of the choruses is, what is it? Maybe what you need is a new dictionary. Because your lack of syntax is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to like, how do I say? I always start out very monosyllabically. I start out very caveman-esque. Like, so I'll go, how do I say what you say is dumb? But I need to find a funny / intelligent way of saying that. And I'm like, oh yeah, your lack of syntax. There we go. And most people go, what? Like, yeah. Because I use a line with my wife all the time that she's sick of hearing as well. Or she's heard me say a million times, because people will go, oh, that's kind of clever. And I'm like, well, I do have a very superlative syntax. And they're like, what? And so it's just a fun, it's like a one-liner that I'll throw out. Like, it's not, again, it's not like super funny, but it's more fun for me, because people go, I don't know. Like, you can see it in their head. They're going, I don't know what superlative is. You know, it's like, actually, it's funny you mentioned Kevin James. Like, so, I think we've probably all seen King of Queens at one point.
Yeah.
But there's an episode where Leah Remini goes, can you get the champagne flutes out of the armoire? And he just kind of stares at her and she goes, big cabinet, skinny glasses. He goes, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, so how do you, and so the same thing, like, how do I say skinny glasses and big cabinet without, you know, so it's just, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to write a song about dirt. Well, okay. Now do I say dirt or do I say like, soil. You know, centuries oil or centuries old, you know, worm poop or, you know, whatever. I don't right. know. Just trying to find a way to make it clever.
And so I think I've asked you this before, but maybe I haven't. If I wanted to turn a joke into a song, what's the starting point? Is it like, do you start with the chorus or do you start with a main idea? Are you saying like, I want to sing about XYZ, or you start with, well, I guess would be technically the punchline for a joke that would be the chorus for a song, right? Is that right?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, for me personally, and everyone's different, but because I do think of it actually, I mean, even, you know, I've done a little bit of comedy here and there. I'd actually like to get back out and do more of it. There's not really a big comedy scene here.
Is there a bar? Is there a bar locally?
Oh, there are definitely places to do it. And I'd like to get Yeah. And I enjoy it. And I think I'm pretty decent at it. It's hard though, because I don't like, you know, me personally, like, and I admire Jim Gaffigan, like he touched on COVID.
Right.
But didn't really. Same thing with Nate Bargatze, like his first joke, which I loved, you know, he's just like, you know, I think this is like the best, this is my best year ever. And then he talks about how, like, you know, all of a sudden they're talking about how aliens exist. And he's like, nobody cares. He's like, everybody's so wrapped up in COVID. Like they just said aliens exist and nobody cares, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing too, is, you know, for me, like, I definitely don't want to talk about COVID. I'm sick of talking about it. For me personally, and I've had to go back and kind of get rid of some of my old jokes, because I was still doing jokes about eBay. I'm like, okay, no, nobody wants to, cause like, you know, some of my jokes, and I won't give away the punchlines, but you know, where you get people who would literally sell, like, cause you, I mean, we all know you jump on eBay and it's almost gotten to the point now.
It's a garage sale online. That's all
exactly.
It is.
That's all it is. And it's not even good. It's like when you go to a garage sale and they're selling, like, you know, used panties for 10 cents and they're like, it's, and what people don't seem to understand is like, well, yeah, but it's a good deal. I'm like, no. Like, if it's human waste, it's human waste. It doesn't much matter how much it is or how cheap it is. It's like, no, that's a used pair of underwear. That is a used, like, I can get a whole, like, my wife can go buy a pack of 10 of those for $3.
Right.
Why would we spend 10 cents on someone who's used, you know, worn this 250 times?
Hey there, Queen Comedy Podcast fans. It's James, and I have to tell you about a phenomenal new show I heard the other day called The Whole Student Podcast. It's where famous guests talk about the influential teachers they had in their lives. So if you want to check out a cool podcast and get influenced as well, tune into The Whole Student Podcast and subscribe wherever you get this and all other podcasts.
But to answer again, tangent cast. to answer your question, though, for me personally, I always go punchline first. Okay. I always go, okay, what's something, you know, what's, so I mean, perfect example. So I had a song years ago, one of the, called That Day. And I really like that song. I want to go back and redo it because I think I could do it better. But it sounds like, so the whole song leading up to the chorus, and I'm giving it away for anybody who wants to hear it, but it sounds like it's either a friend of mine who, well, basically it sounds like a friend of mine who died. And so it sounds like a really depressing, sad song. And then come to find out when you hit the chorus, it was the day that my Nintendo died.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Because like, I like to do that. And I don't do that with every song. You know, some of mine, you know, literally my song, Mr. Feeny, is literally about Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World, because he literally, and I think I put it in the song, he literally like was, I mean, he became a parental figure in my life. Like that became a, like, you know, TGIF was very formative for me. And so, you know, as the characters in that show were growing up, so was I. So like he became like a fixture. And so it was kind of more of a tribute. And that again, where was when I first heard that chorus, the very first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Hey there, Mr. Feeny." And I went, oh no. And I was just, I had to do it. Cause I had a friend who heard it and he goes, "Why?" And I go, "I don't know." Like it just came out of my mouth. And so, yeah, I usually tend to do punchlines first. Or what I'll do is I'll go, or I'll have to make my, I don't know if you do this. What I have to do is I'll come up with a concept and go, no, don't think about it. Like you have your concept. Don't go beyond that. Just start writing the verses and go, okay, what's the story I'm going to tell? So like, so we'll say it's a song about Play-Doh. Okay. Am I going to do a song about how much I love Play-Doh, how much my kids love Play-Doh, how much I enjoyed eating Play-Doh as a kid, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then I'll go, okay, I want the chorus to be something, you know, do I want it to be in left field? Do I want to fool people and not, you know, same thing with That Day. Do I want to go sing a song that sounds like I'm singing a song about my wife or a song about a pet or so, you know, something like that. And then go, oh no, it's about Play-Doh. And they're like, right. What the crap? You know? So I don't know. I kind of probably do both, but the majority is probably the punchline first.
Yeah, that makes sense. I that's what I usually do is I usually think of there's like a funny idea and then I have to figure out how to get to that idea. And so the joke is there, like this funny thing. Like right now I'm writing a bit about my daughter showing me music that they like. And there's a girl singer, Olivia Rodrigo, who has a song about getting her driver's license. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is cute. Like you're singing about, no, it's not about that. It's not about a driver's license. And then
not at all.
Her next big song is a song and the music video of her being mad at the guy from the previous song and basically burning his house down and stuff and how much she hates him. And I was like, what is happening right now? This is such a weird, and they're such weird songs, but that's, so I'm working on a bit about all of that. And I think it's funny because it's like, wow, what a, because when I was growing up, either music was angsty music or was upbeat music, right? There wasn't like really a cross. You didn't really get like angsty to upbeat at the same time. So it's kind of interesting that she did that. And I mean, good for her. She's actually a pretty good artist. I'm surprised. And I was like, oh, okay. I like this. It's not bad. But
you should find a way to weave in, like, you should be like, you know, isn't this girl like, she's, I mean, she really is our new, like, Hannah Montana, right? Like she's writing these real cutesy songs, you know, like about going to the mall and burning her boyfriend's house down. Yeah. And, you know, it's just because like, I mean, you're right. It's one of those things where, and it's funny because you don't realize, I mean, I have songs like that too, not my own, that I really enjoy. And I start listening to the lyrics and go, this is dark.
Yeah.
This is really dark. Like, I mean, not just kind of dark where you go, oh, you go, man, I think something's wrong with this person. Like, this is like, how is this a radio? Like, I think the same thing when I heard the driver's license song, I'm like, boy, they're just going to write a song about everything. Now it's just like, I've got a birth certificate, yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, and then you start listening, you go, oh, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh my gosh, this went weird, like right away. I was like, okay, well, that's the thing, is like one of my favorite songs of all time, and I can probably listen to any time, is Third Eye Blind's Jumper, which is like it was part of when I was growing up, and it was like played a lot. But if you actually listen to the song, it's a very depressing, dark song.
I mean,
song. Who
doesn't like an upbeat song about suicide? Am I right, guys? Come on. No, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, and actually a lot of Third Eye Blind stuff, which I'm, you know, for better or worse, I am actually a fan. I haven't been a fan of the last, probably last four albums or so, I haven't been a big fan of, but their early stuff, like, you know, that one and the first three albums especially. Yeah. But yeah, you listen to the songs and you're like, oh, well, it's just like Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah.
It's a whole song about doing crystal meth with your friends. You know, it's like, okay. But you don't think, because you're like, I want something else. And you're like singing it in your car. And you're like seeing little girls sing it. And you're like, you have no idea what you're singing, do you?
Right. It's, well, it's like there was another band called Ben Folds Five. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And the song was Brick. And like the song is about just like being depressed.
Well, and actually, the underlying is, so it's the whole song is about him taking a friend of his to go get an abortion.
Oh, really? So I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's that's the whole song is, you know, if you go back and read the lyrics, and I've heard him talk about it. It's weird that it's a radio. Yeah. It's literally a radio hit about going to get an abortion. It's like, holy crap. But there's so many of those. I mean, you know, you go back, you know, all throughout history. Yeah. There's like, so, you know, I mean, there was a time when like that song, My Ding-a-ling, was a hit, and it's like, the dude is, I mean, it's like, holy crap. So, I mean, yeah, it's crazy to me. And that's where, and again, I think that's where the song comes into play. I'm not even saying, and again, I'm agreeing with you. I think a lot of these songs are great songs. I enjoy them. I think they're very well written. Now, lyrically, that's where I usually kind of come into a conflict, is I'm like, well, this song is so perfect musically. Why, like, melody wise, like, you guys wrote great harmonies. Why, you know, why did you have to go there? Cause actually that Semi-Charmed Life is actually a perfect example, because the radio edit doesn't have that part where he's talking about crystal meth and stuff, but the original does. And so, cause it happens in the bridge. And I'm like, but you guys didn't have to put that. Well, it's just like, it didn't add anything to the song. It just, like, I mean, you made it to where you can't play it on the radio, or most radios, you can't play it on top 40 or whatever, but it, you know, honestly, that stuff doesn't even matter anymore. I mean, you know, the Tom Petty song, Last DJ, I mean, those are the times we're living in now, where the days of, I love this song, let's play it, those do not exist.
Yeah.
You know, it's all corporations saying, oh, no. You're going to play that Rodrigo song 15 times today, or she's not going to do, you know, your in-store sign-in or your, you know, radio station's concert or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, but it's, you're right. It is crazy the amount of songs where we're like, you know, you're singing with your friends in the car and you're like, what? This song is about him killing his mom. Good Lord. You know, and it's just, so I mean, at least guys like Eminem, they put it on Front Street, where like, he's
telling you with Stan, he's telling you what's up.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, and again, these are, I mean, it's a made up song. These things didn't happen that we know of, but, but he puts it right on Front Street. He's like, okay, this is a story, but I'm just letting you know, like, this is how I feel, like, you know, yeah.
He's great. Well, it's Luke and I have talked about this several times about wanting to do it. Oh, I want Luke to do a comedy music album anyways, but I've always wanted to do like a comedy rap album so bad. I just have to figure that out. Someday I'll figure it out, but not today.
Well,
not,
and it's one of those things where, and a big part of it is you need to find out this is the hardest part, is finding out exactly what you want to do. So again, you know, I do what people in my particular genre call nerdcore. for.
Right.
But for me, I'm not a nerd as in like when people are like, oh, there's going to be a new Thundercats show. I'm like, who cares? Like, you know, I'm not that guy. Like, I don't like anything that's nerd culture. I don't just like, you know, totally jump on board. When I heard there was going to be a new Super Mario movie, and well, first I was super excited. I'm like, oh, sweet. Like, but I'm also the guy, like, I like the original, the one, yeah, you know, with John Leguizamo.
I love it.
And I mean, yes, it's a terrible movie.
Yes, I agree.
But as like somebody who grew up, like when I was 8 or 9 years old, I got a Nintendo for the first time. And like, that was a big deal. Yeah. It was a life changer. And so, so when they came out with the movie, I'm like, oh, well, of course I'm going to see it. And I think I saw it like 3 times in the theaters. And I'm like, by the third time, I'm like, okay, I know this isn't very good, but I still want to see it because it's a part of me.
Yeah.
And I guess now they're doing another one, but it's not live action. And Chris Pratt is going to voice Mario. And so, because Chris Pratt does everything now.
Yeah, of course. Well, have you seen 8-Bit Christmas yet? Have you seen that movie?
I haven't. There's part of me that wants to, because I've heard some really good things about it. Okay, I'll have to check it out.
It's about a B+. It's not an A movie, but it's about a B+, and it's very interesting, and it's very much like a Christmas Story type movie, like that type of movie thing.
Well, and this might be where the listeners turn off this particular podcast. So I'm one of the few people, and I find this a lot, because like, so when it comes to, so years ago, I decided I wanted to do the, you know, the top 200 movies you have to watch before you die.
Yeah.
So I started going through the list, and I got to like number 6, and I stopped because I'm like, these aren't good movies. Like, I don't understand.
That's funny. Like, I did the AFI top 100, and I got through.
Did you?
8, and I was like, these are not this. Like, one is the, no, apartment, which I know my friend Single Paul loves The Apartment. It's like one of his favorite movies. I just didn't like it. Like, I was like, this is weird to me. I don't like it. But you know, everybody has different tastes.
Well, the thing is, there are certain things that we like because we just like them. Like, doesn't mean they're good. You know what I mean? Like the thing that drives me crazy about Citizen Kane, I think Citizen Kane is one of the most boring. I don't find it entertaining.
Right.
I do like, I mean, there are old movies. Like, I like The Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur. One of my favorites is The Adventures of Robin Hood, the old one with Errol Flynn. I think it's a brilliant movie. No, it is slow when you compare it to, like, you know, newer Robin Hoods, but I get it. And I'll watch Casablanca and go, okay, I understand what, there are things in this movie that I understand why it's considered a great movie. But Citizen Kane, and one that I still don't get, and again, I think people will disagree with me, I don't understand Taxi Driver. I don't get it.
Oh, really?
I really don't. Wow.
Okay.
It just doesn't do anything for me. But then again, on the flip side of things, cause I always tell people, like, look, I can enjoy filet mignon as much as anybody else, right, but I also like a good piece of cube steak, right, you know? Yes. So with that, you know, I can enjoy Casablanca. I can enjoy The Adventures of Robin Hood. I can watch Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. You know, it's like, there are
also
things
about, also Cinco Paul is in that movie as well. And I believe he helped write or produce it. So there you go.
Well, and see, and that's my point. Like, it's like, they're, you know, to me, I mean, we all know this to be true, but people forget sometimes that it's subjective. It's entertainment. It's literally just to keep our attention for an hour and a half to forget about whatever it is we might be worried about in life, or just to entertain, you know, it's just entertainment. And so it's okay if you like a movie I don't, or I like a movie you don't, or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean, each one of those, like, you know, people make fun of Good Will Hunting, and I understand why they make fun of Good Will Hunting, but I love that movie. And it's not even because the script is amazing,
right,
but the performances are really good. I mean, Robin Williams kills that speech with him and Will when they're sitting by the duck pond. Like,
no, that's one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. And I used to own it on DVD. I have no idea where it is anymore. But also, that's one of the few movies that I actually get teary-eyed at. I don't cry at a lot of movies, but I do get teary-eyed at that movie, because I get where Will is coming from. I've had like a weird childhood, so I get it.
I think the reason that people make fun of, I've seen comedians make fun
someone just made fun of that in a thing. I forgot who's doing it. They made fun of the apples bit. Was it Jim Gaffigan that does it? I think Jim Gaffigan makes fun of Good Will Hunting in his new one.
It's possible. I've listened to it twice, and both times I was like making dinner for my kids. So like, yeah, I would catch things that I didn't catch the second time, Well, and the thing is, like, because the people make fun of how about them apples, and they make fun of. But the part that you're talking about, that you're probably talking about, that I always tear up at, is, you know, when he's like, not you too, you know, and he's like, you know, where he's like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. You know, it's like, it's, dude, I mean, if you're watching that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, for real. It's, oh, it hurt, dude. It hurts. Yeah. It literally hurts inside, because it's like, you know, I myself too, and I don't want to bring the podcast down. Yeah. I too have gone through similar situations. So yeah, when it hits a little closer to home, of course it makes it emotional, but for me, that scene is very real.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I think that there's, and again, that proves that, like, I do think that comedians can sometimes put in the best dramatic performances. Oh, yeah. I mean, I really do. I mean, you know, you can name quite a few. What was the movie Carlin was in? Not Message in a Bottle. It was something, is like in the 90s, but he plays like a neighbor, and he's only in the movie for like 2 minutes, but he's brilliant.
I know, he did like two Kevin Smith movies, I think. So
he did the Kevin Smith movies, and actually, you know, people make fun of Jersey Girl, but it's not that bad. I mean, like, I think Carlin's great in it. I think that, I'm going to brain fart his name. He played Milton in Office Space.
I never know his name, but yes, I love that guy.
Steven Root.
He was also on News Radio, which is fantastic.
Yes, yeah. Steven Root is a brilliant, like, he, there are certain guys, like, there's Steven Root. The big one, of course, everybody should or does talk about is Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain character actors that are just brilliant. You know, one of them for me has always been, John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah.
Because... and actually this ties into Good Will Hunting. See, it's not totally tangent. When he did Rounders with Matt Damon, he does one of the worst Russian accents ever. Like, have you ever seen the movie Rounders?
Yeah, a long time ago when it like first came out. Because I like Matt Damon.
Well, and see, and that's another one where, like, I love that movie. It's got so much star power. It's got, I mean, him, Malkovich, it's got Norton. It's just, you know, Edward Norton, it's brilliant, but John Malkovich, even though you like him so much that you can get around him being like, okay, so I'm going to talk like this. And it's just, I mean, just awful, 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 but you don't care because it's Malkovich.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched every Paul Giamatti movie, even the ones that are just giant turds, because I love him in it, you know? Yeah. Like I still think the movie Sideways is one of the best movies, like him. And it's funny, cause like Thomas Hayden Church in that movie, like his acting is not great, but he's acting. What makes it brilliant is Thomas Hayden Church is acting like a bad actor.
Yeah.
Because that's who he plays, is kind of like a, you know, low C-list actor. You know, he does like, you know, an ER type show, and he does mostly commercials, and you're like, oh, okay. So he's literally acting like a bad actor. This is brilliant, you know?
So, when is this song going to come out? When's Potty Mouth going to come out, and where can people find it and stuff like that?
It was supposed to come out tomorrow, which it will be. I think I'm just going to let it go out on Bandcamp tomorrow. Yeah. For those listening, Friday, this will already be out. So it came out on the 7th of January.
Yeah.
But as far as on iTunes, I don't know. The problem is, when you release an album digitally, it has to be approved and then approved again and then approved for distribution across all of the different platforms. And so sometimes it can take 2-3 weeks, and it's been in the queue for like a week and a half now, and it's going very slowly. So, I mean, I hope by, we'll say the 14th, I hope, on everything.
So we'll just keep an eye out for it and stuff and make sure that it's out there, and we'll link it to everything and stuff. That's awesome. And where can everyone find you at?
So nowadays, and for whatever reason, I decided to not repay for my website. So the main website is now gone. But I'm always on Instagram, always talking. Instagram, I think it's still Ben Knight Raps, BenKnightRaps. I return every single, maybe to my detriment, I return every message, even the ones where like, dude, you suck. I'm like, right back. I'm like, thanks, man. So I, cause I'm a big fan of that. Like I take the approach of, I take the approach of Dane Cook during MySpace. Like,
right.
You know, I want to have a relationship with people. So, you know, I'm not a big enough, you know, maybe once upon a time, a decade ago, you know, I had a little heat, but now I'm like, I'm not a celebrity. So it's like, you know what, if you're kind enough to write me a letter or an email, you're going to get a reply. So, yeah. But yeah, Instagram, I got rid of my Twitter because I couldn't take that cesspool anymore. No.
I just made a Clean Comedy Podcast Instagram. So there is the Clean Comedy Podcast to post up. It's brand new, but it's there so that we can, so I can do, have something. Cause I don't want to do Twitter again. I hate Facebook. I'm not doing TikTok, none of that stuff. But I was like, all right, something, this gives me the option to put pictures up, to put videos up, to connect to people. So, and a lot of people were like, hey, how can you help me promote the show? Or can I help promote this? And I'm like, I have no way. So I want to offer something to somebody. So there is at the Clean Comedy Podcast on Instagram now, does exist. It's there.
Nice. Very nice. Well, and then, you know, honestly, and let me ask you this, because I know we're kind of winding down.
Yeah.
When it comes to, why do you think, because I would love to see comedians do this more, and some do. Why do you think that, because musicians, I found that musicians, if you could find that they would do this too, why don't comedians tweet, well, I won't say tweet, why don't they Instagram each other's dates very much?
Oh, well, there is the... it's more about promoting the event that you're on or cross promoting an event that you're going to be on with another comedian. So you won't see like Tom Segura repost like Joe Rogan or something, unless they're going to be on a show together. Right. I mean, they're friends or whatever, but it's not going to happen. That just doesn't happen because it's too much noise. So you have to kind of find your sliver of the pie. And then if it crosses over with someone else's sliver and you can get a piece of their pie too, then you'll do it. Otherwise they don't do that. That's just how it is now. I mean, there's too much. I mean, how many comedians can you name off the top of your head? Probably back in the 70s or 80s, you could probably only name a handful, 10, maybe a dozen. Now you could probably name 20 to 30 comedians that you know by name, you know?
Well, and there are definitely so many, like, it's crazy. I mean, of course I know a lot of the major ones, you know, of course. I mean, if you have Netflix, you know,
right.
You know at least five comedians.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because like you'll turn on Netflix and I'm like, who's that? Yeah. I don't know who that is. Who the heck is that? And then you like, I mean, Angela Johnson's a perfect example. Like, I mean, Angela Johnson was a comedian forever. And then she did the nail salon bit. Yeah.
Hey, and honey, then, you have boyfriend. Everyone knows
exactly.
That, right? Everyone
and
knows
then,
that.
And then that, well, and that's what blew her up. And then same thing with like Jim Jefferies. I think when Jim Jefferies first came here, I mean, when he first came to America, I think he had a stand-up special within like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
I think it was an HBO special, but it was because somebody had like gotten his clips. Same thing with Bert Kreischer. When Bert Kreischer did, I mean, Bert Kreischer was probably doing like, 600, 800 people. And then, yeah, somebody cut up his machine bit and put it on YouTube, and then all of a sudden he blew the crap up. I mean, you know, same thing with Bill Burr. I mean, when he did the rant in Philly,
yeah,
you know, that became a huge, you know, that's, I mean, he was a great comedian, but that's what propelled him more into the stratosphere of everybody else and went, oh, who is this guy? Like, I like this guy.
Right.
So it's just,
what's like,
yeah.
As much as people don't want to say it, Louis C.K. got big because of he made a show on FX, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some people knew him in New York, but that show really propelled him forward, and then he kind of went for it. So it does take little things. I mean, Dane Cook did one weird. I don't know if you've ever seen his old Comedy Central thing where he was like a rock star. He dresses mm-hmm. like he's a, like he's Russell Brand.
he's wearing the black tank top, yeah. And. Spiked like, up hair and
yeah, yelling.
Yeah,
you're like, what is?
Yeah, that was dude. Well, and that's what's so weird now is if you listen to Dane. I mean, well, of course. I mean, now he's in his 40s and like, yeah. You know, the rock star Dane is gone and he's doing the. Well, and then you know, of course, he had both his parents died, quite a few years ago now, and like, you know, it's just he's a completely different guy. And yeah. But that's where like like we were talking about before, you know, with these things that happen, the same thing, look at Marc Maron. I mean, Marc Maron, you know, was working for a radio station doing like political radio. And then all of a sudden he decides to do a podcast. all of a sudden he's interviewing like the Stones and the president. Yeah. And like, you know, like, holy crap. And then, you know, then he did his show on IFC, and then all of a sudden he's doing, you know, Glow, and, you know, now he's in all kinds of stuff. It's ridiculous, but yeah. You know, he was in Joker and stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's crazy. I don't even know how we got on this, but it's
no, just, it just takes that one thing. It really does. Like you're going to work and pine away and do things, and it's going to take the one thing to get you to the next level. And that's what I keep telling David Studebaker, and I keep talking about that. I was like, what's the one thing? What's that one thing that's going to break us through? Because we're there, right? We're on the cusp. There's that, you can feel that transition happening. You just don't know what that thing's going to be that translates up for you. So we'll
see. No, you don't. And Bill Burr actually, he's mentioned that a million times, because anybody who's like interviewing always goes back to that Philly rant. We're like, well, that's when he's like, well, he goes, I didn't know that was, he goes, I literally went out there, and I can't remember if it was a K-Rock thing or whatever. I can't remember what, but it was a cavalcade of comedians on that show, and everybody was getting booed, and he just goes out there and just, he's like, you know what? Fine. You know what? I'm going to go at you, and just starts making fun of Philly. And he's like, look, I wasn't trying to be famous. He goes, I was just angry. You know, yeah. I'm going to go back at him. And all of a sudden though, but what was crazy about, and I think Burr has an ability that few comedians have, where he literally sat there and badmouthed them for 10 minutes. Just
they love him.
And they loved him by the end of it. Because I think Mark Maron's the same way. I think both of them are a different kind of curmudgeon.
Yes.
But it's, there's something, they're both lovable curmudgeons. Like, even if they're telling, because Mark Maron has a comedy where he says stuff that actually does, and you try not to be, because it's comedy.
Right.
But Mark Maron does have a handful of jokes that I do get offended by. And I go, well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's that uncle that comes to Christmas that everybody's like, kind of like, well, we love him, but you know. And so it's like, by the end of it, I still go, okay, he's still funny. He's still funny. Like, he's Mark. And, and you know, we always have to remember that when you guys go on stage, I mean, I'm telling you something, you know,
right.
You know, whether it's 10% or 100%, you know, it's a caricature.
Right.
It's a version of you up on stage, you know, where, I mean, there are very few people, like probably the person that I would say is most like, I mean, Stephen Wright is that guy, which is super weird.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, he talks like this, and he's just really slow. Real quick though, actually, before I know we're winding up here. Have you ever heard Stephen Wright's, not I Want a Pony. It's something.
Yeah, something. I had a pony. I thought.
Is it I had a pony?
I don't know, hold on.
It's that joke he talks about. It's totally made up.
Right.
Because I mean, all his stuff is made up. Where he's just, you know.
I have a pony. Is the
I have a pony.
Yeah.
So he talks about where he worked at a planetarium.
Yeah.
Which is already ridiculous. You're like, Stephen Wright did not work for Planetarium. And he's like, well, we had a softball team. Like, no, you didn't. And then what makes it more ridiculous is that he's just like, so we'd play these other planetariums, you know, and he's just, I don't know who that was. It was like Stephen Wright meets Owen Wilson. Stephen Wilson.
Steve-O.
So, but he's talking about how, like, they're, you know, they play other, like, there are other planetariums in the town. Like, there's more than one.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the whole joke is, like, you know, the first baseman's on, or, you know, Mercury, the second baseman's on Jupiter, third baseman's on Earth, you know, whatever. And he's like, then, you know, our first game, we were all way too far apart. You know, it's just like, it's a brilliant joke. But what's really funny though is he's never changed. Like, from the first time I saw him, like, I mean, that guy, he's also kind of a weird sniper, because he was on things here and there. Like, I remember seeing him on Mad About You when I was a kid. And I was like, who's that guy? And I was like, oh, that's Stephen Wright. Holy crap.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude, I'm so sorry. When I come on the podcast, I feel like we just do, like,
it's all good.
You should rename the podcast Tangent Cast whenever I'm on.
No, it's fine. So everyone can go find you, Ben Knight Raps on Instagram, and then you'll have all your other stuff on there, and then we'll look forward to the new song coming out.
Yeah, and I do Facebook too, but I hate it, and I'm with you. It's trying to find those other avenues where people can find out what you're doing, and Instagram is the best, just because, like, it's pretty low. It's not Twitter,
yeah,
you know.
there's less interaction that you have to deal with. There are less things coming through and hitting you and whatever. So you don't have to be really as engaging as you need to be on Twitter. So, well, Ben, thank you so much for reaching out. I'll tell Luke, thank you. And thank you everybody for listening. Please like, subscribe, please go over to the Instagram, the Clean Comedy Podcast on Instagram. I'll put the link in the show notes and follow. We're going to have more stuff coming up. I'm doing some throwback Thursdays for old episodes, for old flyers, for old shows, just for whatever. So we can bring stuff forward and just kind of bring the universe alive. And then there's more things coming this year. I just had a great conversation with the CEO of the World Series of Comedy, and we have more people that we're going to be interviewing, and this is the year. And also, if you go over to Instagram, you guys bombard Tom Papa to get him on my podcast. So just go to Tom Papa's thing and say, hey, Tom Papa, go, you know, and then tag at the Clean Comedy Podcast on Instagram and say, come be on at the Clean Comedy Podcast and see if we can get him on. He's like one of my dream people. Him and Jerry Seinfeld. If I get those two, I might just stop the podcast after that if I get those two.
I'll tell you what you need to do. If you want to get Tom Papa, the easiest way to get Tom Papa is start learning how to bake bread.
I know how to bake bread. I met him three times. He's given me comedy advice in person on three separate occasions. So it's not like I haven't had that interaction. It's just trying to snag him to get him to come. Like, that's the big part.
You just need to go, Tom. So I was thinking, like, so we do this podcast, like, but hey, I would love to do, like, we should do like a bake-off, right? Like a bread bake-off.
I make sourdough bread. Like, and my starter, the starter that I have in my house that I have, is named Tom Papa. It's named Tom Papa because of him. So yeah, no, I'm already a huge fan. I've seen him three or four different times, and I was supposed to go see him, and he canceled the improv, Irvine improv show that my wife and I were going to go to in February. So we're figuring something else out.
Well, I will say this, listeners, please go follow the Clean Comedy Pie. I literally just followed you. So there you go. You have at least one more follower.
That's perfect. Let's do it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Ben. Thanks, everyone. Please go like, subscribe. Please also go to Facebook and like it there. And then we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks and have a good one. Bye.